Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey. I'm in Arizona with the Padres. Two games left in this series. Sorry that we're a day late. Jay Posner, Sports Editor of the Union Tribune, back in San Diego. How was your Labor Day, Jay? Better than the Padres?
Well, it was okay. I can't say it was too great because I went to the racetrack and didn't win any money. So that's how it goes. But nobody got hurt, and including me, and including the horses. So all was all was well. And I'm not sorry that we're a day late. It was a holiday. So
okay.
At least I was permitted to take the holiday. You of course were not. But and you had to watch bad baseball, whereas I was able to turn it off after the second inning, which seemed to be all that I needed to see from the Padres yesterday. That was not good. I don't know. Should we start Cal Quantrill? That's a couple bad starts in a row.
Yeah.
Against NL West competition. Is there anything that was said afterwards that sort of hinted as to what's happened here? Obviously everybody's entitled to bad outings, and he sure didn't get any help yesterday, at least in the second inning.
His stuff was not as good this time, but then it wasn't terrible, and the game got away from him, and it got away from the Padres. And at this point, that's really all that I've heard or I can say, and it is true. Look, they were all earned runs, the 8 runs he gave up, the 6 runs in the second. However, you could have seen where that inning could have been like a 1-run inning, maybe 2 or 3.
Yeah.
There was an error, By the way, Mike Leake's runs have to be changed. I don't know. You didn't see that in the eighth inning. Anyway, Mike Leake, Fulbright guy, gave up 4 runs yesterday, all after the first baseman dropped a pop fly in foul territory. And yet, all earned runs. Bizarre. Anyway, did I mention Mike Leake, Fulbright High School?
Do we know anyone else who went to Fulbright High School? I'm not sure I do.
Brooktown. All right. So, it was just a terrible game. That said, Jay, I love watching baseball. I had to flip the switch. Last year, right from spring training, I knew I was going to be watching bad baseball. And so, it was hey, this is great, man. This bad baseball is still baseball. It's great. This year, I went through a little bit of a funk, much like the fans, I think, in July, where it got ugly. And I'm like, man, this stinks. I was getting used to watching good baseball.
Right.
Look, this is what the Padres are right now. And look at the lineup that they put out there the last 2 days. And the pitchers that are pitching, Javi Guerra yesterday, that's the strike zone, Javi. You have to learn that there's other parts of it. And that's okay because he's been pitching for 5 months.
Right,
This is who they are, Jay. I'm not saying it's okay, but it's who they are.
Well, and I it's interesting because I left this note at home, I think, but I looked yesterday. They had the 45 and 45 stretch at the start, basically the first 90 games. And then I think yesterday made them 13-13 in their last 26.
Yes.
So that's basically a 500 team for, what is that, 90, 116 games. That one stretch in July right after the break where I don't have the numbers in front of me. It was something 6-17 or 6-15 or, somewhere in there. That was where the season obviously got away from. The wins and losses, look, we talked about this last week. You've written about it since then. You wrote about it again today. This is not just about wins and losses right now. And I know that I know that's difficult for some people to accept. And I think some people are just not going to accept it. And they're going to get upset when bad games happen, and they're going to blame people and all that stuff. But I think, look, they wouldn't be pitching Javi Guerra if these games matter. They wouldn't be playing Luis Urias at shortstop if these games matter. They would move Manny Machado to short. They did it earlier in the season when the games did matter. It's not that they don't know this. I think they're pretty smart people. I know a lot of people maybe not wouldn't agree. And at times, they do things that aren't very smart. But they aren't this stupid, And so the idea is, let's find out. We've explained this many times. Let's find out if Ty France can play second base. And the only way to do that is to move Urias out of second base. Obviously, Luis Urias is better at second base than he is at shortstop. It's one reason he plays there now as a regular position. So I think, look, nobody wants the Padres to go out and lose every game. but nobody should expect the Padres to go out and win every game. And sometimes these weird games are going to happen where things get away from them. You know, they also won, I guess, you know, we should point out, they won 3 out of 4 over the weekend on the road in San Francisco against a team that, you know, still had sort of flickering postseason hopes at that point. I'm not sure those still exist anymore, but you know, some good things happened in those games. Yesterday was a disaster. Who knows what tonight brings, other than it's another bullpen game, starting with a guy who's never pitched in the big leagues before in Ronald Bolaños. Again, if they were in contention for a playoff spot, I'm pretty sure we wouldn't see Bolaños on the mound tonight, but I'm looking forward to seeing what he's got. So what does he have, Kevin? Tell me.
23 years old, and he has, at least at Double A, you know, swing and miss stuff with his secondary pitches. And I mentioned that before, the fastball that can reach 100, because, you know, unlike Javi Guerra, this guy has been a pitcher,
right?
And he knows how to pitch. Now, he is 23, is making the jump because they need him to, and, you know, because they want to see what he has. I believe Bolaños is has to be on the 40-man roster. I know Guerra does. It's, I believe Bolaños does, so that means, you know, hey, what does he really have? That doesn't mean if he gets shelled tonight or, you know, doesn't have a good September that they won't keep him. It's what you know, they're going to be looking at a lot of things. Now, evidently, sometimes he can go out there and throw like 90. I don't know what this is about, but it's wild. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing 23-year-old Cuban, the third of the Cubans to come up in that vaunted 2016 international draft class. He was one of the biggies. So this is a big day for the Padres. Like you said, it's a bullpen game, sort of. I mean, heck, this guy's a starter, right?
Right.
So remember Pedro Avila came up, and he came up in Arizona in April and threw one-run innings, I think it was.
I think that's
maybe it was five
right.
shutout.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, I said a bullpen game. I mean, obviously yeah. Bolaños could, I presume, I haven't looked at his logs for Amarillo. I assume he could go five innings or something.
Yes.
I'm sure he'll have some sort of limit on him. But, yeah, it doesn't have to be one of those games where the guy just goes one or two innings.
No.
If he pitches well, I'm sure they'll, you know, they'll leave him in for 4 or 5 innings, you know, and see how he fares during that time. Now, what did you get? I got the impression from reading the story about Urias that was online this morning as we taped this on Tuesday that there might be a change and maybe we will see Machado at short starting tonight. What's your read on that?
I would be surprised in that there was a reason that they haven't done it. There's also a reason they didn't move Machado over to short for one day. It's let the guy play one position, mm-hmm. really lock that down. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that I think it'll stay that way. Because obviously Andy Green is talking with his players. On the other hand, and I should say the other reason, is this, as you already mentioned, this was never about Urias. Like, this is not, you know, this
right.
was about Trifrance playing second. So they're, you know, even though there have been, what, now 7 errors, and it's 18 starts, but I think it's like in the last 13 starts, he has made 7 errors at shortstop.
Right, although the one throwing error yesterday had nothing to do with the fact he was playing shortstop. I mean,
that was just a bad play.
That was just a bad play. He was in a rundown. He made a bad decision and a bad throw. So, I mean,
right.
he could have done that as a second baseman.
I will say that there have been a number of plays, I think, that, you know, the first baseman has helped him out also. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been good over there.
No, and that's true. But it's funny. I mean, you mentioned Machado and the idea that they didn't move him over for one game. And I know Garcia played short for one game in San Francisco.
Yes.
Was it Sunday?
It was.
I believe. Right. And you know, there was immediate criticism, of course. Why can't Machado just play short? I don't think you want to take Machado and go back and forth between
right.
short and third every other day. I think Machado's earned the right to play one position. Now, if they decide, look, we got to play him at shortstop, then I think they need to do that for the rest of the year.
They could do that because it's gotten that bad.
Right.
So that was what I was going to get to. It's just, you know, look, there's this experiment we want to do, and then there's, you know what, we kind of owe it to the entire team to give ourselves a good shot.
right.
So,
well, that'll be something that we'll watch that we'll watch later on this evening. I do want to bring up one other thing, among many things, but among other things, the situation. There was over the weekend in San Francisco, the TV crew on Fox San Diego, it was Sunday, it was the last game for Bruce Bochy managing against the Padres and as Giants manager. And Greg Vaughn and Trevor Hoffman were both in San Francisco to pay tribute to Boch, which is, and I guess they had a nice video and put a sign on the wall and that sort of thing. But both Vaughn and Hoffman came up to the booth and talked with Don Orsillo and Mark Sweeney during the game. And Sweeney had talked about this as well. And Orsillo did a really good job, as good play-by-play guys do, and sort of, you know, setting him up and saying, what, with all three guys, what is it that makes for a good manager? And what was it about playing for Boch that made him a good manager? And all three of them, and none of the three spoke, you know, knowing what anybody else had said, they basically used the same three words, and they were trust, communication, and transparency. You know, nobody talked about strategy or lineup things or dealing with the media or any of that thing. But from a player's perspective, those were the words that these guys talked about. So what I wondered, and I'm sure a lot of other people wondered who were watching, and a couple did write me on Twitter and said, does our current manager, meaning the Padres' current manager, Andy Green, where does he stand on those three words, I guess, with current Padre players? Would they talk about trust, communication, and transparency? And I said I would ask you, told one of the guys, I would ask you about it on the podcast. So that's a long-winded way of saying, okay, answer that, Kevin.
Above all other things, perhaps, he has that. So as you said, there's not a mention of strategy, a few other things. But in terms of transparency, probably the most important thing to Andy Green, I think, in his life and in dealing with his players, because that's very, very, very important to players. And what that is letting them know why they're playing or not playing, why they're at a certain spot, why they're going to sit, you know, as much as the manager can share with them what the organization is thinking. And I'm telling you, I'm pretty confident saying that's at the top of Andy Green's list. Communication, I mean,
kind of goes along with that.
He works on it. There can be a difference. And this isn't just Andy Green. I know some former players who are now coaches around the league. You've seen it out there, managers talking about it. The group of managers that are, we could even call them peers of ours. Andy would be what, you know, 15 years younger than you, 7 or 8 years younger than me. But, you know, around the same time in terms of generational, they're learning how to communicate with millennials and whatever comes after millennials, right? Those
right.
guys are starting. And there is a difference. Heck, I had a conversation with my wife about it last night. There is a learning period. And so without, you know, sending a whole podcast on it, Andy and his coaches are learning that. But so is every manager around the league. I just wanted to cover that.
And I also want to cover, I don't want people to think that your wife is a millennial, by the way, that you know.
No, but my kids are.
Your kids are, exactly. I do want to point that out just in case anybody might look askance at that. So
so thank goodness she's not.
And then trust, the other thing is trust.
And they all go together.
Mm-hmm.
And the players, above all, trust Andy Green. Now, does that mean some guys don't have issues? No. Does that mean, you know, that he hasn't had to learn a few things? No. But above all, these things that they mentioned, Andy Green has. So if Greg Vaughn and, you know, Trevor Hoffman were hiring and firing, that Andy Green's job would be safe.
Right. Well, I mean, at least in those areas, and if those are the most important.
He would check those boxes for them,
right.
And then they would move on to the other things.
Right. And I guess, you know, obviously there's many other things that maybe players don't have, maybe players have an issue with, because you've mentioned that before, that there are players who, you know, grumble sometimes at, I'm sure, at strategy and lineup and that. Now, again, and those aren't all Andy Green things. Those are, those are organizational decisions for the most part, and so it,
you know, not I, to put you on the spot, Jay, but I'll, you know, since my boss will never hear this, I'll just say it. You know, there's sometimes I might disagree with my boss too.
What? Wait.
and we get along famously.
But I would hope that if you disagree with me, again, using those words, that it wouldn't that it wouldn't be because of something that wasn't transparent or something that wasn't communicated to you, because I think those are very important qualities for a manager to have.
Yes,
in any business, not a baseball manager, but any manager at in a business, that's what I know I strive for in terms of with dealing with employees, is that they should trust me to communicate with them and to be transparent with them as much as I can. And
there you go.
So
all employees understand that there's a caveat of as much as you can. But
right. Anyway,
we're getting deep into the weeds, but like it's because there's a lot that goes into this decision. And you know what? I want to just throw this out there. I don't think I've mentioned this here or anywhere. You know, sometimes a change is just made. It happens.
Right. No, and sometimes I think sometimes a change has to be made. And again, I'm not saying specifically in this instance whether it does, because I really don't know. But there are times, and I felt this was the case, to go back to what we used to cover. A guy like Norv Turner, I thought, you could make a case sometimes for Norv Turner as a guy who, look, he took the Chargers to an AFC championship game. He had a 13-3 season. At some point, though, things kept happening, and you felt like, you know what, you just need to make a change, and that may be the case here. And honestly, I thought that was the case when Bruce Bochy was here with the Padres. He had been here for a long, long time. There were a lot of fans. I'm sure a lot of the fans now that grumble about Andy Green grumbled about Bruce Bochy, because I remember seeing the emails at the time and hearing the phone calls. There were a lot of people fed up with Bruce Bochy at that point. The Padres hadn't done anything in the playoffs, in 05 and 06. And, they were competitive, but they couldn't get past the Cardinals. I think they won one game in those two postseasons. And I think there was a pretty large faction of Padre fans that were just as happy to say, okay, you know what, we've seen enough of Bochy. It's been 10 years, almost 10 years since we were in the World Series. Let's try somebody new. And again, that may be the case coming up with Andy Green. It may be the case after this year, and maybe he gets another year to show what he can do, with a presumably better team and that kind of thing. But you're right. Sometimes change just has to be made for the sake of trying something different. I don't know if that's going to happen here or not.
Yeah. If he starts next year as the Padres manager, which I'm inclined to believe that he will, then it'll be hot seat from March 26th.
Right. No,
and then it'll cool down if they start hot, and it'll get hotter until he's gone if they don't.
Right. So
there we go.
All right. What else do we have?
Well, we got two games against the Diamondbacks left here.
Right. We got Merrill Kelly pitching tonight for Arizona. He's not anything special. Tomorrow, I'm eager to see the matchup of Zach Gallen, a rookie who was with Miami earlier in the year and now with Arizona, and he's made 12 starts this year with a 2.79 ERA between the two teams that he's been on. And he goes against Chris Paddock, who looked much better. We haven't talked since Paddock's last start. Again, facing the Giants, again, not a very good team, but I thought Paddock looked really good that night. What did you see from him, and what do you expect tomorrow when he's obviously facing a better team?
Major leaguers who had seen him before. So yeah, the Giants were not the Red Sox. But again, he was facing them again, and many of them had seen him, and many of them are good hitters. And his fastball command was better. His changeup was slightly better. I mean, he's still not, he is at the end of, a long season for him, for sure. And I thought that it was extremely telling of what Chris Paddock has, and exactly why the Padres continued to and will continue to keep him going this season. I the guy's velocity was up. Its top point is dipping, but he was all over the strike zone with that fastball. He's been very stubborn about where he throws it. He was throwing it low. He was throwing it in and out, and that's when he's best, is when he can put it where he wants to. When you see Chris Paddock just barely missing and putting it where he wants to, that's Chris Paddock, and that was as good as he'd looked in a while in terms of that. Again, got away from some things because he's going against the Giants. And I only say that to sort of nitpick because I know what Chris Paddock and what the Padres expect of him. I thought, though, for that to be, you know, he crossed the, what, 130 innings? Mm-hmm. Or no, he got close to 125 something. Anyway, huge, huge start for a rookie who I expect is going to be, you know, all much better next year.
Right. And I think these next, I mean, assuming he makes these next three starts, he'll be facing the Diamondbacks tomorrow. He'll get the Cubs next Tuesday back here at Petco, and then he wouldn't pitch again until Milwaukee the following Monday. So again, that's three good teams, and then he would probably, if he kept going, you'd probably see him once or twice more against Arizona. So,
and if he does, Jay, is an if, because
absolutely,
you know, Andy Green talked to him on Friday. I think I wrote that on Friday, and just to check in with him and let him know, hey, you know, it's being talked about a lot. You know, not that this is the first time they checked in, but it was, you know, hey, you just need to be honest with us. You come back after your starts. If you looked good, if you feel good, you'll keep going. That's where they're at right now.
Right. No, and I think that's exactly how they should handle it. And then Thursday,
or against the Cubs, their midweek series are against the Cubs and Dodgers.
And then you come home with a home stand against
the
Rockies on the weekend.
And Diamondbacks.
And then I think four against the Cubs. Right. And Diamondbacks. I know that's something. The Diamondbacks, I do want to point out one thing, because they did something that I believe no team had ever done. From June 18 until August 29, so more than 2 months, they were never more than two games above or below 500, which is just kind of, that just struck me as a staggering statistic. They finally got three over last weekend when they were in the process of beating the Dodgers three out of four. Right now they sit four over, and they're still playing for something. I mean, they're 3.5 behind the Cubs for the second wild card spot, and right in there with Philly and Milwaukee and the Mets. So, you know,
it's a pretty good lineup. It really is.
It's not a bad team that they have. I mean, their run differential is plus
75. I just can't believe Torrey Lovullo didn't pitch Archie Bradley on Sunday for like the eighth time in 10 days when they were going for their first franchise sweep against the Dodgers. I mean, how could he not have used his closer again that day? That's Torrey Lovullo's fault.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he'll be on the hot seat any day now for that. But anyway, Kevin, I would tell you to enjoy Phoenix, but it's Phoenix and it's September, so I'm sure it's 100 bajillion degrees there. But at least the games are indoors, and at least you get to leave on Thursday. Just when probably most of Arizona's heading back or has headed back for school and everything else with summer over, you get to escape, and
I get to come back though for the final three games of the season.
Oh, that's right. It's not even your last trip there. So what a weird schedule. They played Arizona, what was it, 10 times through May 22nd or something, and then didn't play them for more than 3 months, and now have to play them 9 times in the last 3 weeks. So
I enjoy though, like the different things in the schedule. Like, I've just started perusing next year's. The Padres, I believe, have 3 wraparound series. I believe they're on the road all 3 holidays again.
Okay.
The baseball, Labor, Memorial, 4th of July, Labor. I'm pretty sure that they play 3 times on Monday. They complete a 4-game series on a Monday.
Huh.
That's
so weird, especially because I don't think we haven't seen that at all the last couple of years.
Well, they did one early when they helped. They were the visiting team when SunTrust Park opened in Atlanta.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, it is extremely rare, and it's at least 2, and I swear I saw a third. But that's like, baseball is just such a mess, like in terms of, you know, what it requires to play the 162 games in 181 days or whatever it is. It's there's always something.
Yeah, that is true. So, anyway. Kevin, enjoy the next couple days and safe travels home, and we will talk again on Friday.
Thanks, everybody.